And I want you to see that. And once again, our point for this whole study is to become a little bit more familiar with the disciples, but also look at their characteristics and their character, and then from that, to learn and grow and say, you know what, if God can take someone who is a loud mouth like Peter, or someone who is maybe a little bit tentative, or someone who is kind of zealous like John and James, and we looked at all those different characteristics, so as far Andrew, someone who's kind of in the background, if God can take all these different individuals and use them and make them something for his grace and for his glory as trophies of his grace, he can use us. And when we look at this story about Thomas the pessimist, we didn't put the word doubting Thomas. We're going to show you in a little while why. But at the end, when he sees the risen Savior, he makes this confession. He says, "My Lord and my God." You know what? He is everyone's God. Someone, I forget who I was talking to earlier this week, I says, you know, he is the creator of everyone. He's not the father of everyone. Some people say, well, God's all our fathers. He's not. He is the creator of everyone. But it's when we recognize him as creator, he is our God. And he is God. But then that word Lord actually means I'm making him Lord of my life. I see him as God. I know he's creator of God. I think everybody in this room would recognize, yes, he is God. We believe he's God. But is he Lord of your life? Is he the one that's in control? So when Thomas makes that famous confession after he sees Jesus, the risen Savior, he says, "My Lord and my God." At that point in time, he was his God. But at that moment in time, when he got it all and understood it all, he says, "My Lord and my God." So let's look at a couple of things here. We always try to do something a little bit interesting about their background. We're going to get to disciples we don't know anything about, so it's nothing we can say about the background. Thomas, one thing that's kind of interesting, his name actually means twin in Hebrew, and his Greek name means Didymus. So we're not even sure if Thomas is his real name or just a nickname because he's a twin. So if you go look it up, most people, so unless the parents named him and saw that he was going to be a twin and called him Thomas, that way it was mostly commonly known as a nickname back in Bible times. So that's a little bit of an interesting fact. Doubting Thomas. So yes, we see him, we're going to look at all the different occasions we see him in the Bible about, and we're going to see that there are times when he is doubting, or he's not really trusting, or is he more of a pessimist? Is he looking at things from a negative side? So over here, you think about it, this guy Thomas is mentioned in the Bible probably 8 times, 4 times in a list of names. The other 4 times he's mentioned, and he's not always painted sometimes in the best of lights. And I'm going to show you that there's sometimes when you look at those things, you can look at it from one way or look at it from another, that he was courageous and that he was someone that wanted to follow Jesus. Even if that wasn't even his real name, you see, he does not need to be mentioned a lot to be able to be used by God. You look at these other disciples, and as we go on to Simon the Zealot, and we look at other ones down the right, these are not many times mentioned. You see the James, you see the Johns, you see the Peters, you see the Pauls, but you don't hear a lot of the other guys. Is that because they were less important? No. It's because that's how God worked out when he was writing his word. God can use all of us. We do not need glory. We do not need our name up in lights. We do not need, you know, God's just looking for willing servants. And so when I think about Thomas, I think about this man who was mentioned, and we're going to look at 3 different things today that Thomas shows us and teaches us that God can use all types of people, even somebody who is pessimistic. Anybody know somebody pessimistic? I know somebody who's pessimistic. They always look on the negative side of things. They call me an optimist. They says, I always look at the good side of things. And I say, I'm just trying to be a believing that God can do things. And I am a realist at times. Sometimes I had to just buckle down and say, well, maybe we should do it a different way. But I think God is able to do all things. Thomas here learns that, and he says, you know what? He is my Lord and my God. So let's look at a couple things here. Doubting Thomas. People give Thomas a hard time for struggling with his faith, but the other disciples struggled with theirs as well. Go to Luke chapter 24, you look at verses 9 through 12. This is when the ladies were coming back from the sepulcher. They had just heard that Jesus had risen from the dead. They had even just, some of them had even seen Jesus. And look what it says in Luke chapter 24. Look what it says in verse number 9. And they returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And if we looked at this before, you say the 11, Thomas was not there. Why did they call him at the 11? I mentioned to you before that many times they would call them as a group together as the 11, just as they called him as the 12. It was representing a large group of people that was there that were believers. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to be them to them as idle tales. They didn't believe them the first time. And you keep on seeing what happens. It says, and they believed them not, just like Thomas. Thomas is doing the same thing. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. It doesn't say he even believes. He says he was wondering with himself how in the world this could happen. And then you see, we got the story about the road to Emmaus there, and they did all those different things. And you see here, I guess what I'm trying to get at is that Jesus appears to them, and then they believe. Jesus appears to the men on the road to Emmaus, then they believe. First time Thomas saw him, guess what? He believed. So I know we like to give Thomas a hard time about being doubting Thomas, but I think, and I agree, we would like to think all of our faith should be so strong and all of our faith should be so rock solid that as soon as Mary Magdalene came and she said, you know, I saw Jesus, we would all believe. Mary Magdalene didn't get it. Jesus was talking to her. It wasn't until he said her name. This was something that was overwhelming for them in the faith that was extended here. And I'm not saying that it's right to doubt. I'm not saying it's right to not believe. But what I am saying is don't be so super critical of someone who is struggling with their faith. When we get to see God and experience God, our faith should be building, our faith should be growing, and this is something they all went through. So next time you say doubting Thomas, you know, remember all those other disciples ahead of time were doubting too until they got to see Jesus. I know John, he saw, and John didn't even have to go in. John believed. I get that, but not everybody is that way. So let's look at a couple of times when we see Thomas, and I like to say that as I've been doing a little bit of studying about Thomas, Thomas had a love for the Lord. So go ahead and take your Bible to John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11 is a famous passage of Scripture in dealing with Lazarus being raised from the dead. Now, if you look at it earlier in John chapter number 10, the people are trying to kill and stone Jesus. They did not like what Jesus was doing, did not like what Jesus was teaching. They thought he was blaspheming because he called himself the Son of God. And they even began to pick up stones. They began to pick up stones to try to kill him. But Jesus went ahead and went off in his way. In John chapter number 11, he hears that Lazarus is sick. And look what it says in verse number 6. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again. So he's saying, look, we need to go there. We're going somewhere. They're like, we don't want to go there. They look to kill you. We don't want you to be put to death. And then he says to them, in verse number 9, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. And Jesus gives an interesting response there. He's talking about the time he has and the time he has to work, and he's not stumbling in what he's doing. He always knows what he's doing. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. If you're going to do what's right and what's truth, it doesn't matter what you do. As long as you're doing it for the Lord, God can bless and use that, even though it might seem impossible to someone else. And these things said he, and after that he saith unto him, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of the sleep. So he says, look, he had heard Lazarus was sick. He says, look, Lazarus is sleeping. And then the disciples who still do not want to go said the disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. He's like, look, it's good for him to be sleeping. If you're sick, most of the time what you need is some more rest and you need more sleep. And howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought not that he had spoken of taking of a rest of a sleep. So they couldn't figure out that Jesus was talking about the fact he died. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I am not there to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. So he says, look, Lazarus is dead. He says, I'm glad you weren't there Because if he was, if they were there, then Jesus would have been there. They wouldn't have had this great miracle they were getting ready to see and experience. And so he says in verse number 16, we see Thomas's first spoken words. That's what we're trying to get to. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Now, for me, when I'm looking at this, I see someone here who seems like it's a little pessimistic. He's not somebody who is really doubting. He's somebody who's showing courage. He's someone saying, okay, if Jesus is going, I know I want to go with Jesus, even if it's dangerous. And sometimes when we look at the story of Thomas and as we examine him, we see him as someone who is doubting, but instead he is willing to go with Jesus and he's willing to follow him when the other disciples do not show that as an option. They're trying to convince Jesus. Hey, look, they tried to stone you. Hey, look, Jesus, if he's sleeping, it's good. That's something that's good for him. That's something he should be doing. I want to encourage you today. Do we truly love the Lord this way that we're willing to even die for him? He said, wow, of course I die for him. You know, it's hard for me to imagine for someone who says, yes, I'll die for him, but then they're not willing to live for him. See, he's not asking for us to die for him right now. Someday we might have to, but what he's asking us to do today is to live for him. So many of us struggle with this flesh, and so many of us struggle with these things. It's sort of like when, you remember when Elisha said, or the Elisha servant had said about going and dipping to Naaman in the Jordan River seven times. He turned around and said, I'm not going to do that. And Naaman's servant said to him, if he asks you to do some great thing, he says, if he asked you to give you $1 million or go kill 100 people, you would have done those things. But because it's so simple and so simplistic, you struggle with doing it. And Christian, I want you to understand here that Thomas had a love for the Lord. And if Thomas's Lord was going to go into Jerusalem, he wanted to be there and he wanted to be a part of it. And he says, let us also go that we may die with him. Yes, he is being pessimistic about it, but he has a love for him and he has a courage for him. And you say, Pastor, what? If you have a pessimistic type attitude, guess what? God can change it. God can use someone even like you. God can, you know, all these different 12 disciples, different personalities, different backgrounds for some of them, different spiritual levels, different levels of knowledge, different for the things that we can see, they seem like they were not much alike. Peter, that had to be the outspoken one. Andrew's brother that was in the background. And then you see the zeal of James and John, and you see different things. I think in a sense he was saying, okay, if he's going, I want to go with him. And so that's important to understand. The disciples feared to travel near Jerusalem, and many of the Jews there hated him. They wanted to see him to be put to death. But Thomas just doesn't understand the purpose of Jesus. He desired to follow the Lord. So let's look at the next time we see Thomas talking. Another familiar one. Hey, Mr. Chambers, can you open that door or put the, I don't know if the heat's on or something, but it's really warm in here. I don't know if anybody else is warm, I am. But they Thomas desired to follow the Lord. John 14, 1 through 6. Now this is a familiar passage of scripture. And it looks like I didn't change the verse there. Ugh. So in John chapter 14, Jesus has just told him, went from the upper room, and he told him what? Number one, someone's going to deny me, talking about Peter. Someone is, I'm getting ready to be put to death. Someone's going to betray me with Judas. And he is walking towards the cross, and he's explaining to them, and their hearts were troubled, and they were upset. And it says in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. I believe in God. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So he's giving them promises. He just told them, I'm going to die. Peter's going to betray me, deny me. Judas is going to betray me. He just told them all these things. All these thoughts were coming up in their heart. They were devastated. And now he's saying he's leaving. And he said in verse number 3, he gives them great promises. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas speaks up. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Once again, it's maybe a pessimistic type answer. He says, we don't have any idea what you're talking about. And I'm glad Thomas asked this question. Some people say it's doubting, but I don't think any of the disciples really understood what he was talking about at that point in time. They even Philip asked the question about seeing the Father. And, you know, once again, they are going through a very emotional state. And Thomas just says, he wants to go with you. He says, Lord, where are you going? I want to know the way. I think that's a good thing. And then if Thomas had never asked that question, we wouldn't have that next verse. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So when we consider Thomas and we think of that doubting Thomas that he's been labeled, and I understand why. We're going to see that in chapter 20 here in just a little while in the book of John. Remember, he is someone that is struggling with his faith, but he had the courage to say, Lord, if you're going to Jerusalem, I'm going with you. Let's go together and die. He was pessimistic, but he was still willing to follow after Jesus. And then you see, secondly, he says, Lord, I don't know where you're going, but I want to come. And that's what he's saying in verse number 5. He says, Lord, we knowest not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And so he's asking for him to explain. All Thomas knows is that he wants to follow after Jesus. He had been listening with Jesus for these 3 years. He listened to his teaching. He's seen the miracles. And Thomas still didn't understand what Christ's words were. And we have a relationship with Christ. And we should have that same desire. We don't always understand. We don't always understand the teachings of the Bible. We don't always understand what God is doing and how God is working. But like Thomas, we can ask the question, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. And Lord, I don't know which way you're saying that I'm supposed to go. But Lord, show me and teach me. I don't think that's a doubt. That's instead he's saying, Lord, I don't understand. Teach me. And I think that's something we can learn from Thomas is, hey, I don't understand what you're saying, Lord. Can you explain it to me? Can you show me? And yes, he may have to chide with us. You know, he looked at all those disciples and says, where is your faith? He looked at Philip and he says, you've seen me. You know, how can you say, show us the Father? He says, me and the Father are one. The Father, I am in the Father. You know, all those different things. But we understand here, Thomas is someone who struggles with their faith. Thomas is someone who has a pessimistic outlook. Okay, we're going to die. Jesus, I don't even know what you're talking about. Can you? He makes it doom and gloom. But the last time is not only does Thomas desire to follow the Lord, Thomas's faith. Thomas's faith. Go ahead and take your Bible to John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20, Jesus has already appeared to the other 10 disciples and into a large group. All of them were excited about it. All of them were telling Thomas about it. But Thomas chose not to believe. Thomas is going to say something like, unless I can take my finger. Well, let's look what it says in John chapter number 20. Let's go ahead and back all the way up to verse number 19. John chapter 20, verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, because the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them. Now remember, this is without Thomas. Peace be unto you. And when he had said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Now look, they got to see his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so will send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and they saith unto him, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But it says in verse number 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, once again, there wasn't even 12 at that point in time because Judas was gone, but it was the segment there that was, they were calling him as the group, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples, you can imagine the other 10 are trying to convince Thomas. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see him in his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now, this is where he gets this idea of being pessimistic. We see that he is earlier saying, let's die with him. You see how he was frustrated when he said, we don't know where you're going. Now he's fearful, I will not believe until I see. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them, and then came Jesus. I like that cantata. You guys remember that song, Then Came Jesus? And then came Jesus, doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And I just love how he treats him. He doesn't throw him away because of his lack of belief. And he tells him, hey, look, If this is what you need, go ahead and get it. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. He makes that confession. So what do we see here? He makes a declaration of unbelief. I will not believe. Then he makes a declaration of belief. My Lord and my God. What I'm trying to say here tonight, this morning, whatever time of day it is that he had a faith that needed to be encouraged and need to see and improved. We all do. How are you going to see that? Is by seeing God. You say, you mean Jesus is willing to come down here and let us put his hand, our fingers through the face? No. You mean he's willing to? No. But he gives us his word each and every day that we can see and that we can learn and we can grow from. He gives us an avenue of prayer, and he gives us an opportunity to be right with him, and we can confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Thomas was not willing to believe until he saw, and maybe that was part of Thomas's personality. Sometimes people have to see to believe, and that's when God begins to work in their hearts, and that's when God begins to work in their lives and changes them to where instead of being pessimistic on the outlook of things, he can become someone who believes and trusts. Look what it says in verse number 29. Jesus saith unto them, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You know who that includes? All of us. That's right. It includes us. We've seen and not believe, and we're blessed. And how are we blessed? We're blessed in a lot of ways, but we have things that Thomas didn't have. We have the Holy Spirit of God living in us. Man, that is such a wonderful possession we have. We have the completed Word of God written in our language to where we can see what Thomas did and why we call him doubting. We have so many things. We have a direct avenue to God through prayer. We have the ability to serve a risen Savior. I mean, there are so many different things that we have, and we are blessed. But it says in verse number 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. These are written that ye might believe the Son that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that you might have life through his name. And it's the whole reason why the book of John was written, was so that people might believe that Jesus is the Christ, not just the Christ, but also the Son of God. And that believing we might have life, eternal life, through his name. So as we consider the story of Thomas, I want you to look at him in a different light. Yes, he is a guy who doubted there, but all the other disciples got the same opportunity to see Jesus, to experience Jesus, and that's what helped build and increase their faith. Even later on, his name was mentioned four times in the book of John. I believe, Thomas, you go down here to John chapter 21, you look at verse number 2, there were together Simon and Thomas called Didymus. So in verse number 2 there, he's going with Peter fishing. And I know some people give Peter a hard time about going fishing and the other disciples because it was their former life. I get that. I'm not sure if I would beat him up about that. But Thomas is mentioned there too, still with the other believers. He had a faith. We all have a faith. Some of us are pessimistic in our outlook. There's no way God can work. There's no way God, we would never say that. But the way we live our lives and the way we develop our opinions and our theories and our thought processes, what are we going to do? You know, the world's coming to an end. And, you know, it is. Jesus is going to come back someday. But at the same time, how do we serve today? Thomas figured that out. And that's when Thomas said, My Lord and my God. We all see, if we know him as our Savior, we know him as God. We know him as Creator. We know that Jesus came down this world to die for our sins, and he gave his life for us, and he became our payment, and he is our substitute. But here's the thing is that we need to get to is we need to make him our Lord. Our flesh will try to tell us what we should do. Our flesh will try to push us into doing certain things. But it's when we recognize him not just only as God, but Lord of our lives. Is he Lord of your life today? And if not, I encourage you to do whatever it needs to be to make him Lord. Now, let's look a little bit about his ministry. It says that one historian said that Thomas was sent to Parthia. Now, this is a northwest Iran to preach the gospel. According to Fox's Book of Martyr, Thomas preached the gospel in Parthia and India, where they excited the rage of pagan priests. He was martyred. He was martyred by being thrust through with a spear. It's kind of interesting to think about how he said he wouldn't believe until he could see the spear mark, and how he was thrust through just as Jesus was thrust through. Another historian says, there is churches in South India whose roots are traceable to the beginning of the church age, and tradition said they were founded by the ministry of Thomas. And as same thing, it says that he was run through with a spear. And so different interesting things that he was willing to give his life. Instead of being pessimistic, he was willing to give his life for the cause of Christ. Willing to travel all the way area up to Parthia and to India to start these churches. So I want to encourage you today, you see what God can do with a pessimistic type attitude, a guy who says, well, if Jesus is going to go, I'm going to go, I'm going to just die with him. Jesus, he was frustrated in the idea, I don't understand. And then he's like, I'm not going to believe. All those things combined, God can take someone like that, that we see in the pictures of Scripture, and use them to help build churches in India, and use them to help build churches in Northwest Iran. And see, you know, people heard the gospel all throughout the world. Now, there's areas today that they don't hear, but they were sent, and they made a difference in all throughout the world in many areas that they had a light that was given there. But look what Thomas can do for the Lord. And what can we do? I know some of us are pessimistic. I know some of us have a negative outlook on life. God can still use someone like that. And some people are maybe overly optimistic. You know, God can use someone like that too. God can use all types of people for his work and for his glory. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to understand a little bit better about Thomas. I pray next time we call him Doubting Thomas, and I'm sure that all of us will in one way or another because of John chapter 20, that you convict our hearts about the things that we have doubted him in the past, that you convict our hearts about the things that we need to work on and that we need to change. Lord, I pray that you help us see that you were able to use a guy that maybe was pessimistic or a guy who struggled with his faith, but as he experienced you and as he saw you and understood you, he said, not only are you God, not only are you my God, but also I want to make you my Lord. And that be our response, that we want to make you our Lord of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.